You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. Thank you so much for being here this week. We greatly appreciate it and hope you have a good time. If you do, subscribe to the show. Tell a friend, leave a comment, leave a review, and then other people can enjoy it as well. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the fire hose to my garden hose, my dear friend, Andy.
Blah, blah, kika! We're coming for you today real hot.
This one's got an extra bit
of energy up in that shit.
It's worthwhile because we have an awesome episode. We have live music on the show today, and it's always a treat when we have some live music.
It is.
Our silent partner, Nate, is with us. He made a lot of sound happen this week. Our guests were from the band Blue Flags and Black Grass. Pretty much the whole crew was here. We had a full house, and I wanted to give you a little bit of a note about this week's episode because we had the most people mic'd we've ever had for the show. The audio quality is going to be a little bit different. We had a pretty ambient microphone set up in the garage this week. Everything sounds great. You're going to hear some awesome recordings of some really great live bluegrass. But it's just a little bit of a different audio experience this week. So I just want to let you guys know what to expect before you get too deep in the episode. But I think you're going to want to wade all the way in because it was great. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Like bluegrass, Americana.
Oh, yeah, it was good.
Got the harmonies, got the picking, a little bit of grinning.
There was no grinning. Absolutely no grinning.
We had some body humor on the show this week. A little flatulence in the house.
He's never gonna live that one down.
And I don't know. We had a great time talking about some great traditional music, and he's live here in the garage.
It was great.
Yep. Blue Flags and Black Grass has their own website. That's where you can find videos. You can find where they're playing and when. I know that they're playing a show here in the Portland area on Valentine's Day, so definitely check them out there. And pretty soon their albums will be available on Bandcamp for purchase or streaming. So seek them out. I think after you hear them live, you're going to want to. So enjoy our conversation with Blue Flags and Black Grass on this week's episode of Hot Garbage. This isn't bad. Andy, this is by far the most microphones we've had going.
Woo. Yeah, it is.
We're resplendent with microphones.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
So, how did y'all get interested in bluegrass, Americana, that kind of music? What was your first, like, moment for each of you where it kind of grabbed you?
All right, everybody at the same time. 1, 2, 3, go. Well, it happened when I was 95.
It was in Myrtle Beach.
Who wants to start?
I picked up. It was in Myrtle Beach. My senior trip. We went to Myrtle Beach for the summer for a week. Went to a pawn shop and picked up a 30 years of bluegrass CD. I was like, shit.
What made you pick up that CD in the first place?
I thought you were going to say because of their rich bluegrass history in Myrtle Beach.
It was all there.
Yeah. First of all, I like that you went to a pawn shop on your vacation. That's
absolutely
the secret best part of the story. But what was it that drew you that CD in the first place? Because I don't know if I went in there when I was, in high school, I would have even thought to pick up a disc like that.
Oh, yeah. I listened to whatever I can or, everything I could and didn't have a bluegrass CD, so... 30 years of it right there on one disc. That's a deal.
It's an efficient buy, that's for sure. Yeah.
Pawn shop prices.
What about you guys? Any other, kind of entry into bluegrass stories?
Well, if you say bluegrass is a big word.
I know. I'm throwing around terms pretty loosey-goosey here. Feel free to educate because I'm a novice, but I'm interested.
Well, I think it's a subgenre of a larger genre of acoustic music.
Mm-hmm.
That's what first caught me, just the community of it. The fact that 20 people could pick in a circle, and it wasn't, and that was a thing that happened. Whereas 20 electric guitars in a circle is a lot more chaotic.
Sometimes it is kind of cool that there's that many instruments doesn't have to fight each other when it's acoustic. But if it was any other kind of instrument, 20 trumpets, would just never work.
Or you'd have to like find a football team and march around.
Yeah.
I saw you guys describe yourself as like Viper music or Viper jazz.
Viper jazz.
Can you describe that a little bit for people who don't know what that is?
Well, yeah. Kind of like Fats Waller, Steph Smith. 20s and 30s jazz, it's like... Well, Viper, the Viper part of it is the stoner era of that stuff in the 20s and 30s. The songs about opium and the opium dens and all that. And
surprising kind of, amount of tunes written about weed in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah. If you use a Viper.
Yeah.
Smoking.
That cat is high. That's another one.
Elegant in its simplicity. Yeah. It really does write itself. That's...
But yeah, that's pretty much what Viper jazz is. It's like, you know, kind of the stoner jazz of the 20s and 30s.
Oh, that's so cool.
Smoke Rings gets reused as like with references, of course. And...
Okay, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but like drug jazz from the 20s and 30s. Like, how did you guys even encounter that music? Like, where? Some, was there an uncle? Was there like an older next door neighbor? Like, who was plugging you into this kind of pretty esoteric subgenre in the first place?
Baby Gramps would be one of the influencers of the revitalizing of that genre. Like, people who like kind of devote their own performance to recreating what it sounds like on those 78 records, the old timey records and stuff like that. But
so people were beginning to sort of faithfully reproduce this kind of music and put a new kind of spin on it, and that was in a kind of entryway, and you just kind of followed it back in history?
No.
And Baby Gramps is amazing, speaking of. Man, that guy is like a local legend. I saw him a long time ago, and just blew my mind. He just plays the craziest songs, and they're all these old-timey songs that are just the best innuendo. I'm a big fan of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to the show, you know. And this guy's, if you like that kind of stuff.
We used to have a segment where Andy would bring me a song from like the 20s or 30s, and I would just read the lyrics like a poem and see if we could sort of decipher it. And there were some like really nasty jams back in the 20s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was impressive.
A lot of it was pop music, and they had, you know, their specific innuendos, you know, like Viper, like that doesn't mean anything unless you know what the sound of a joint being smoked sounds like.
Which is way cooler. How come we don't use that all the time now? That's like needs a review.
Bringing it back.
So are you guys in that tradition? Do you put a lot of that kind of stuff into your music now? Are you part of kind of nouveau weed jazz?
I mean, like the handful of originals that we do, like the first two were originals. They're kind of either political in sense-ish. Not too druggy. I mean, that's not the idea. But
I thought we were just talking about those tunes, and we all clarified for a moment amongst each other playing them that they're about water. And so to the extent that water is political, which it absolutely is in almost every sense, but we were singing songs about water to begin with.
Well, that's a good segue. You guys were kind enough to play some live tracks for us. And we, of course, want to share them with our listeners. You played three songs. We'll put them in whatever order you guys like. But tell us a little bit, besides water as kind of a unifying theme, that first track you played for us, tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Let's see. So there's a singer-songwriter challenge that goes on with Little Thirst every Sunday. It's held by Taylor Kingman. And they pick like a theme where if you're on the thing on Facebook, they post it, and they're like, the theme is, whatever, flat tire in the desert, or whatever. And so,
pretty good.
So you get the week to...
The last one, stale bread, or something.
Yeah, you get the week to write a song that has something to do with that, kind of whatever, in your own... Yeah, so anyway, there was a song challenge, and the song challenge had something to do with some belly of lead or something like that. And, Flint, Mish is going on, drinking water full of lead, there you go.
It was a topical song at the time.
It's still going on.
It's still topical, I think.
That was many years ago.
Awesome. Well,
and it's still going on.
And is it called just Belly Full of Lead?
Don't drink the water. Is the
Don't drink the water.
Like,
that's better.
Yeah.
That is better. Let's check it out right now.
Thank you. A belly full of lead, oh, a belly full of lead. I said, don't drink the water, get a belly full of lead. Down in Flint, Michigan.
What's like the bluegrass equivalent of like a banger, you know? Because that was a banger.
A barn burner.
A barn burner, yeah.
There we go.
It's pretty good slang. I think we should borrow more in our common
or
vernacular.
Or a hoedie keg.
Oh, what is it?
A real fucking hoedie keg.
Yeah, I like that.
Hoedie cake. Oh, man. There's some cool bluegrass words, man, that people use in old-timey songs.
Just generally, there's like a whole like vocabulary, a bluegrass vocabulary, outside the 20s and the 30s?
Yeah.
Well, with vipers and whatnot?
Yeah, just in general.
Well, that's one thing that I was thinking about. So for someone who's, you know, I don't have a depth of knowledge about the music you play, but it is a very traditional kind of music. And it's been around for a long time. It's got that rich history. So when you think about entering into that tradition, what do you guys do to put your own spin on it? How do you, you know, introduce something new into this steeped tradition?
I think it's something that hasn't been said before.
So it's really about the subject matter that you select, other than more than the sort of the mode of the music?
I mean, you know, people play a G chord a lot.
Yeah, I like either some songs that come across, or, you know, some songs that just kind of hit you, or, you know, there's like songs that everyone plays, or there's songs that, you know, no one's heard of for a long ass time. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of fun to dig around and find those kitschy ones that have like, the subject matter kind of hits you in one way or another, whether it's a beautiful melody or it's a silly play on words or whatever. There's a rich history of music that's either lost or no one really cares about or no one knows about, or, you know, just a very small percentage of people really, you know, dig that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's kind of dorky, but whatever, it's fun.
Well, it's no more dorky than, like, any other sort of, like, musical tree, too. People can get really, really in the weeds about the things that they're into. And I'm sure that there are lots of genres that have, like, deep, deep catalogs that are worth unearthing. So do you guys get as much satisfaction from doing a cover or recreating some of these traditional songs as you do from creating new music or original music? Or what's kind of the balance there?
Yeah, like, you know, ours is, like, you know, we got most of these like older tunes, and then we also do like songs from the 60s and 70s, like from Holy Mother Rounders or Michael Hurley, or, you know.
I'm a huge fan of both those guys.
Yeah.
The whole scene.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was another recreation of that stuff too, is they were, you know, going back doing the old.
Perhaps Arlo Guthrie as well.
Well, yeah, well, Woody Guthrie too. We do all your Fascist Bound to Lose and stuff like that. And,
but yeah, kind of, you know, finding the good songs, whether you find them or write them, you know, the song, presenting the songs,
you know,
it's pretty huge. And
what songs sound music. Good with our instrumentation?
Yeah,
usually.
Yeah, the songs form a skeleton, which makes the album.
Yep.
When you guys are putting together an arrangement or a collection of songs, what's that process like of working together? How do you make decisions as a unit?
Well, I think it's just kind of, there's a collection of our songbook that we got. You know, it depends on the gig too. You know, typically if we play an hour, we can kind of go through it and just kind of name out songs. We've got enough. But we, you know, if we've played weddings, we've played long, long gigs, and, you know, do 4 hours, you gotta have shit ton of songs. So either, you know, if we do super long stuff, we'll list them out of whatever we've done throughout the years, or know that we could pull off on the fly and it'll be all right.
A lot of the arrangements happen on the fly.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of organic that way, you know?
Well, we were like sitting here, you know, I was watching you guys play together, and, you know, it's not a like a huge gig or anything like that, but it was like flawless. It was like seamless. You guys didn't have to do much of anything to be in perfect sync. How do you, you know, build that kind of like cohesion? Is it just repetition, or is there something about, you know, how does that vibe come about with a band of this size?
All of us.
And do you guys camp together a lot?
Yeah, we do. We do a lot of adventures.
Yeah.
But yeah,
a lot of team building exercises.
I mean, all of us have played, either played before with many, many different bands currently too. Like, everyone's in several stuff, and But I don't know, like we do a lot of circle picking. You know, Elwood has a bunch of pizza parties at his place, and we'll be jamming till dawn. And yeah, you know, over the years, I mean, we've been playing on and off. I mean, this project is kind of going on since for 9 years or so, like since 2000.
Well, there it is. That's that. There's it's all it's glued. It's locked in. So, what are the biggest disagreements among the group? What are the biggest points of bones of contention?
Who gets top bunk typically?
Right. I would say a big controversy for us is the ratio that we put in our spliffs.
Spliff ratio.
Oh yeah, spliff ratio. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're just thinking that the venues might realize how what a treasure the music is and offer us about 10 times the amount of money for a performance at times. That might be helpful at, you know, for covering some of the stuff.
You know, like, do you Rainier or do you Rolling Rock? We've
got a lot of arguments about that. Absolutely.
Rolling Rock, you get the deal. $9.99 for an 18 rack.
Versus Rainier? Rolling Rock.
When did Rolling Rock become the cheapest beer in the world?
When Anheuser took them over.
Is that what happened? I kind of feel like when I'm drinking Rolling Rock now, it smells a little bit like bleach. Yeah. I think I've talked about this on the show. I like chlorine. It smells like a pool. It smells like a very clean pool.
The bottles are washed.
City water.
Yeah.
The bottles get
washed. It was from Latrobe, Pennsylvania. I'm close from there, Western PA.
Yeah.
They bought them out.
I used to really like it. It used to be one of my favorite cheap beers.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's definitely better than Rainier. I don't want to, like, throw a log on that.
Oh, I do not.
I don't want to create any friction here, but...
I don't like drinking pool water.
I would have thought the biggest disagreement was over, like, tour farts. Because this seems like, you know, a potentially stinky collection of people if you get them on the road.
To my knowledge, we all fart enough where it's not an issue.
it's a rich tapestry.
Yeah.
You gotta fart your bubble out, you know what I mean? If somebody else is farting.
I've got a t-shirt that says that, actually.
Roll down the window. Yep.
Everybody understands what it feels like to hold it in, so nobody wants anybody to do that sort of thing to themselves. So.
It's part of expressing yourself.
It's a self-care thing, I think. Yeah.
Do you guys feel like you're more prepared for the apocalypse by playing acoustic instruments?
Definitely,
for the soul at least.
Yeah, you don't think
that's a hindrance to having to carry an upright bass?
If there's a Road Warrior post apocalypse, yeah, like that seems more based on electric instruments.
With the bass, you can fish from it if necessary.
That's true. For fashion, some kind of a canoe.
We tried out for the Thunderdome band, but they didn't want us.
Oh man,
so, I know.
It is kind of nice, like, the upright bass is a tough draw for the apocalypse, but otherwise you just kind of sling that acoustic over your back and wander through the wilderness. Mm-hmm. It's pretty tough. There's a certain cut to that silhouette.
I mean, that's how you break through, like, I mean, if shit hits the fan, there's, like, I mean, that's how you can kind of break through the things, like, we're musicians, we're here to bring music, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's where we go through. I mean, when you travel and go through different towns or go busking here or there,
yeah,
you get one thing music has taught me is the amount of people outside your a lot of people like music, so you will meet people you would never run into any other way except for a shared love of music. So it's a good icebreaker. You know?
Yeah, I would think that a roving band of musicians in a post-apocalyptic world would either be the last group of people to be eaten or the first. Mm-hmm. I think it's nowhere in between. You're not going to be like the sixth group of people to be eaten. It's either...
If you go down with the ship.
Yeah. Yeah, you can like it like so.
Well, I think of like this post-apocalyptic like roving band of musicians. I feel like I've actually seen that before. It's like the early morning hours of a music festival.
Yeah.
Like, we get the real-world experience of that, like, every summer.
We're ready.
You know, the pre-dawn light, and it's just, it's a wasteland out there, and there you are, like, you know, wheeling
there's
your stand-up bass,
there.
You know,
yeah.
through the
there's
woods.
Babies crying, yeah.
And trying to avoid the, you know, the puddles and stuff, you know, it's just, so.
I think we're ready.
Well, and we're not ready, but, you know.
We've had practice. It's a long road and well worth it.
Who would have thought the bluegrass folk would outlive us all?
The most prepared.
Never would have crossed my mind. Andy, speaking of being prepared for the apocalypse, I know you got some jams to take with you into the next life. What have you been listening to this week?
Oh, the sweetest, tastiest jams of all. Let me tell you about this one. Oh man, this is a great band. This is like kind of like a folk punk band that they take like really personal sad stories about like addiction and stuff, and just they have such a humorous take on it. And like, I feel like that's the only way you can really deal with super serious sad shit like death and addiction and, you know, rejection and shit. And they, not only that, the songs are just like, the songwriting is just like so like smart and sharp. It's just awesome. So this is a trio from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania called Local News Legend. And I'm going to play you a song from them called No Rehab from their album Nice Set. You can find this on Bandcamp and you can catch them playing around the Midwest and Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania getting a lot of love on this week's show.
Yeah.
Glad to see it finally get its...
It's Groundhog's Day.
It's moment in the sun, exactly. It's a big week for the people of Pennsylvania.
You ready?
Yep.
Are you sure? My previous prediction, 'cause substance abuse is a little bit risky. From LSD to meth, skunk weed and whiskey, but I give it all up to catch your attention, 'cause I wanna see you at my intervention.
So that song was No Rehab.
Oh yeah, No Rehab.
Local News Legend.
Local News Legend.
Yeah.
It's a quality name.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hot ditty. Their songs are all pretty short.
Yeah, a lot of songs on that EP are like a minute and a half long, and they're really good.
Nice. A little sampler platter.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys weren't playing bluegrass music, what would be the genre of music that you would play?
I love playing funk.
Funk, yeah.
I think funk's a good one. Yeah.
It seems adjacent to bluegrass. There's something about it. It's like a very rhythmic... driving kind of music, yeah.
Like
you would, people don't often associate them together, but I can see that. I can see them being cousins, long lost cousins. Funk grass.
Gotta get down, no matter what.
That's it. It's the getting down. You're right. You put a finger on it.
Gotta shake that booty.
What about you, fellas? Any other genres you either wish you played or currently play?
Oh yeah, we all play a bunch of different genres. What I wish I could play right now.
Zydeco.
That would be fun. Yeah, New Orleans music is great. Yeah, actually.
Yeah, that would be
fun. That was telepathically correct, yeah. So
you got it. Good guess. No ska fans? I feel like this is...
I love ska.
Oh, yeah, be a ska band very easily. You've got the numbers.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah.
That's the first thing you need.
The numbers and the harmonies.
It's tough to pick because, you know, so many types of music.
I'm doing get you singing that reggae song. We got to get you doing that one.
Yeah, doing some old, playing old Jamaican music. That's awesome.
I did have the good fortune to be in a reggae band for some years called Ma Barley. That was a Bob Marley tribute band.
That's amazing.
And we had 8 members, including 3 drummers and saxophone, clarinet, violin and bass, guitars, singers. Actually, in order to have that kind of band, the singer has to be a lion, really, just like Bob
Marley.
Like
a human lion?
Just like really sing, like
in a lion of Zion way.
Just to fight through
it has to be, in order to have that right feeling for covering a Bob Marley song, you have to have the singer who's going to sing it like Bob Marley would sing it. And we have that singer, Mark Erickson. He's fantastic. And
that's awesome.
That's very cool.
We had that band going for some years. And I guess I play mostly classical and Irish these days. Swing jazz quite a bit with my friends, but I prefer a lot of freely improvised tapestries of classical and Irish mixed together with all kinds of music. And
one thing I would love to do before I die is have a surf rock band.
Yeah.
Psychedelic surf rock.
You get to keep the hollow body guitar if you play surf rock too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get to add way much more reverb.
Tons of reverb.
If I personally could pick any genre of music to play, it would be harsh grinding noise.
It's fun.
Well, yeah. You can do work with that noise.
Yeah, it's true.
I believe in you.
Thank you.
I think we can all.
I don't know. Like, I can't pick one genre to stick with. It's just there's too much good music out there. Like,
well, so do you guys generally consider yourselves musicians than? See, there you go. I brought it up sort of as a joke, but
doorknob.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So you do this.
You know, you're the only second guest to ever fart on the show. So
how long have you guys been doing this?
5 years.
5 years.
Well, audibly fart.
That is some elite company.
I'm sure there have been copious
farts.
What people
don't know is that Drew's ass is just basically open the entire show, off gassing in like a silent way.
Sometimes there'll be a pause in my question, and it's just me just letting it fall out. But yeah, so we're all family here.
It's like an olive
oil. But that's how we get I have no it. Idea what we are talking about.
Thanks for having me on the show.
I'll see myself out.
I think we were talking about the Super Bowl and how the Rams won, and we have split into an alternate timeline.
Yeah. We were farted down the rabbit hole. It might be a good time to talk about the second song you played. That's a good record scratch to bring in some music. So tell us a little about that second track you played.
That one was Gone Fishing. It was just kind of this riff I worked up on the banjo and then threw some lyrics on it. But yeah, my parents live on this 13-acre farm. Well, it's just, you know, nice chunk of land on the cleanest creek in western Pennsylvania, just happenstance. And yeah, my folks have been
sounds
there.
Sounds idyllic.
Yeah.
Western Pennsylvania, you get
where,
some nice
it's
hills.
Where I first caught my first fish. And anyway, it's a long story, but it's a beautiful story. But anyway, I ended up writing this song, you know, about fishing there. And that's what you got.
I love it.
Yeah. And yeah, it does have a kind of Zydeco Cajun-y feel too.
Yeah. And also, the people here, it's got some beautiful, like, sort of sound effect notes that you were providing on the fiddle. So let's check it out. It's called Gone Fishing?
Gone Fishing, yeah.
Wonderful.
2, 2, 3,
give this a whirl. We're going to play a game we play quite often on the show. It's called License Plate Detective. So Andy's going to share with us a real-life vanity plate that he saw here in the greater Portland area. But it's a little bit difficult to determine what they were going for. So we will play License Plate Detective and help him to figure out what they might have been suggesting with their vanity plates. There are no wrong answers. This is...
just weird people.
Just a brainstorm. Mm-hmm. Andy, what's the first license plate?
There's so many good ones. This one I really like. I think this is somebody's name, but I don't know. It's J-U-R-I-S.
Juris?
Juris. Do you think that's someone's name?
Doesn't it mean just like law in Latin or something like that?
Oh, it could
be. It's a district attorney.
It's just the judge.
Hard juris.
Yeah.
That dedicated.
It's the plural of jury. Oh, it's a multiple.
It's
juries. Multiple juries share this vehicle for jury duty. It's like the one they give you when you have to do like an overnight. I'll take the juris.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's like, is that your car? Juris. You know, they didn't sure is was taken up. Yeah. But people were always asking that person if that was his car. Mm-hmm. It's like
your Prius duty.
Right? It might be discernment, which is appropriate for driving.
It could mean discernment, you think?
Yeah, it could be.
In Latin?
It sure is.
Case closed, Andy. Let's play.
Oh, man. Oh, this one was really crazy. I thought this one was like... It's H-A-V-I-C.
H-A-V-I-C. Havoc.
Havoc.
It's Havoc. Yeah. Somebody out there is really going hard with it.
Can't believe they still had that one.
Maybe if you're going to be entering in a demolition derby, you have to get your vanity plate before. So this is just their pre-derby Havoc plate. So that people in the stands can tell which car is there.
Entering the ring.
Havoc!
Here comes
Havoc. Havoc dropped an engine block.
Yeah, we might have a pro street racer out in the streets. It's just Havoc. Check his vanity plate. It's all good.
Could be.
He's out saving the day.
Eastern European actual name.
Yeah.
It could be.
I like that.
Sure is.
Yeah. Havoc, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Not the town, the person.
This one's kind of weird, but I just thought it was strange that somebody actually got this one. It's Y-R-D-A-D-D-Y.
Your daddy?
Your daddy.
Or your diddy.
Your daddy. That's weird that they would let somebody get that.
Those were Gresham plates, right?
Yeah. It was Washington plate.
Oh, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was somebody's daddy, and they're just like, I'm your daddy, and I don't want you to forget it, and I bought you a car, and every time you drive it, I want you to see who bought it for you, because I'm that kind
of jerk. I think he taught his daughter by having her follow closely behind in traffic. That's how she learned to drive, and just like, always follow your daddy, and that just became sort of their shorthand for weirdly learning to drive.
Yeah, it's a strange way to learn. Yeah. I'm going to make you do it on your own, but you follow me.
Or maybe it's there. Been, like, it's yurt daddy, and it got rubbed out a little bit, where it's missing the T.
Just a really
and
big
they just
yurt
love
camper.
Yurt camping.
Yeah. It is pretty nice.
Something of a yurt daddy.
I'm a bit of a yurt daddy myself.
Yeah, you are a little bit of a yurt daddy.
Yeah.
Maybe this person makes calendars.
Mm-hmm. They're yurt daddy. The calendar maker.
Yeah. Could be.
It's a domain name for sale. Your daddy duck. Your daddy duck.
Ultra feminist wondering why there are men. Like why there are dads.
Yeah.
Why are daddy?
Why are daddy?
It's a sentient robot car that's a little bit dyslexic.
Fuck you, patriarchy.
Why are daddy? It's horrifying. Well, this has been successful. We got time for one more, Andy, because I don't want to. Yeah. I mean, we'll probably go out on a big old dead, but I'd love to keep the good times rolling.
The worst one to go out on. That's how it usually goes when this happens. Oh man, I've already picked all the best ones. See, like, I'm gonna go real deep. I'm gonna go back to the beginnings, the ones that haven't used.
The first plate way that out there. Confused the hell out of him.
This one was weird. FRG LPS.
Frog lips?
Frog lips.
Leaps.
Or fergalips.
Or it could be lips. Yeah, we kiss a frog.
Yeah, immediately you think frog lips, and you'd be like, why do you do that? And this person, they actually just really like frog lips. It's a delicatessen to them. They just eat the lips.
I assume it was like a self-deprecating frog-faced person.
Yeah.
Oh, just flapping out of my frog lips.
It's just me, old frog lips.
See, there's a leap frog, so frog leaps.
Yeah, I like that. I think there should be more nicknames that aren't necessarily complimentary. Like, they're descriptive, yeah, like but they're just like, it's not necessarily a compliment. And you're just like, no, I own that. You know, like, I'm going with it. So that's Frog Lips as a license plate, and that's just like, you're owning that thing. I totally support that. I think that's great.
New Frog Lips is a pretty dope name, too.
Radio Farter.
If I lived in California, that might work. I don't think it would fit in an Oregon plate.
Oh, you've never been to L.A.
I'm trying to think of other, like, cool-sounding insult nicknames that are actually positive.
Lunchbox and snack bar is pretty funny.
yeah, you're right.
I've had some good friends.
I've had a few lunchboxes out there.
I met a guy who
falling out a lunchbox.
A lot of kids called me Lurch as a kid, and I hated it then, but now I think it's kind of cool.
Giant Billy Corgan.
I actually also had the nickname.
Lurch?
I did.
Yeah. That was an easy one for the big
thing. I got called Dirt in high school.
Dirt?
I gave it to myself, though.
Were you, like, dirty or just, it was just a cruel kid?
I'd wet my hair and just, like, comb it back and then, like, it looked greasy or whatever. Maybe it was greasy. Who gives a fuck?
Oh, so yours was kind of like an affectionate term for greaser. You were actually a greaser and they just, like, oh, there's dirt.
I don't know. It was kind of a jock kid.
Fuck those kids. This was high school?
Fuck those Frog Lips.
I don't know if I buy the, like, noble...
Dirt would be a pretty solid nickname. Right.
It didn't shatter my ego that much. Maybe it did. I don't know. It hasn't realized itself.
But they called me Dusty when I was really little.
Dusty's a good one.
Andy, speaking of Dusty, why don't you dust off a track for us?
Let me dust one of these hot tracks off. Ooh, this one's for you, Drew.
Oh, thank you.
This is a band.
I do like bands.
This is a band from Oslo, Norway.
Oh.
And this is a kind of a emo punk band, that has a shoegaze kind of feel to it.
Okay.
That kind of reminds me of all that stuff Met Jimmy World. Some kind of anthemic band that you...
Once again, you have sort of like painted me in this weird corner. I don't really like Jimmy World.
When I heard this band, I just wrote down these two words. Drew shit.
Okay.
I thought you were going to really dig this.
This will be interesting to hear what you think.
This is from the recently released album, This Is Not the End, out on By the Time This Gets Dark. But wait, let me get that again. By the Time It Gets Dark. By the time this comes out, this actually is available on Bandcamp.
What's the name of the band?
The band is Spielbergs.
Oh, okay.
And the song is 4 a.m.
All right, so I was in college, and I found this awesome house off the beaten path, just a couple miles off of campus in, you know, the farm woods area, western PA. And, my good buddies were moving in the night after, you know, my girlfriend was hanging out at the time. I was there for like a month before my friends moved in. But, my girlfriend was there, and the next day my friends were moving in, if I didn't already say that. And so...
And you'd been murdering people in the house for a couple weeks prior.
Yeah, I got away with everything.
Yeah, that is the murder guy.
No!
Officially, no, I wasn't.
Shh! Allegedly.
allegedly. My girlfriend woke up and saw this figure right in front of us, like, you know, just hanging out, watching us while we're sleeping, and she woke up, and there he was, and kind of just, like, nodded and turned around and walked in the closet and disappeared.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That would ruin that house for me.
Yeah.
But you slept through it. You were...
I didn't, yeah.
You did not have the encounter, but she had a vivid encounter.
So...
He smokes a lot of weed.
It wasn't me. It was me. It wasn't me. It was my girlfriend who saw this.
That's why I slept through it.
So...
I talk about it a lot, but ghost repellent, weed is actually natural ghost repellent because you sleep through it. There's a lot of ghosts around.
So...
Smoke some.
My friends, they moved in, and we were hanging out. I've known them for years, and we're all at their dad's place, and they had a family picture, and my girlfriend was like, "That's him.
That's the guy."
And
that's that creep.
Their brother passed away like a year or two before I met them, and he was there and checking in on us before they moved in.
Man,
that's amazing. The total like follow up
with the picture, like total.
So that's my ghost story.
That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty solid ghost story. Speaking of the future, I guess, you know, ghosts are all of our futures. What's the arc of this band? Where would you like things to go, you know, as a unit, and what are your kind of plans for the near future?
I was gonna quote Wu-Tang. But you know, play bigger stages at, you know. And, whatever. Just play, travel and play music all around the world.
You know. And also protect your neck.
Yes. Diversify your bonds.
Yeah, that too.
What's the dream gig? What's the one that would be like, man, that's cool?
I don't know.
It's a wide range, yeah.
I mean, it's not like the attention, but like the cool places, like...
It'd be fun to play a country fair, officially.
Yeah.
Well. Like Firefest.
We would survive just fine. We had acoustic instruments. Yeah. We would have been the same. We would have saved. We would have saved that party.
It would have been incredible to be the one band that actually played Firefest. Yeah.
That would have been great if you got down there and like, fuck, we only have...
You guys would have starred in two documentaries if you had done that. That is priceless advertising. Everybody would be talking about you right now.
Ja Rule sang about water.
Save the harvest.
We already have our own supplies. We'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And listeners, we at Hot Garbage are setting up multiple fake festivals coming up soon. So you can join us in all kinds of
At things. A fraction of the cost, though. We're only trying to bilk you out of like $12. That's all it takes to keep this ship afloat. Mm-hmm. We're
most
not greedy.
Take place in weird places. So
yeah. I don't tell whatever lies necessary. I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. You just tell me what I need to tell you. Mm-hmm. Well, you talked about like... the being heard thing. Do you ever think about like trying to consciously to grow an audience, or like what's your relationship like with people who listen to you and know you?
I don't appreciate anybody who does. I mean, yeah, there's a lot, you know, there's a good bit.
Let's not lie. We started. We were playing with thousands and thousands of people. It was just too much.
Yeah,
I couldn't.
It does
like,
get overwhelming.
I'm kind of an introvert. And I was like, I can only handle like 20 good homies, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
we're finally there. And it's great.
We tapered down.
Yeah, I was.
I mean, the biggest shit I've played was I joined stages with Flaming Lips with a marching band whenever they played the Waterfront.
Cool. Yeah,
that was cool. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, that was just like having so much fun. Like, what, 20, 30,000 people just are going nuts. I mean, that was awesome. But, you know, it's not like an ego thing, but that was pretty damn fun.
For us, it's a total ego thing. We've been turning down gigs left and right just to like show how cool we are to people.
Well,
we don't need those gigs.
It's. I mean, I know you're sort of joking, but sort of not joking, because I think, you know, if you put yourself out there, obviously you know that there's kind of a relationship, it's a give and take with people. They're there to see live music. You're there to be seen. And I was just always curious how people are, you know, how you think about that kind of thing, because I would have a, you know, if I knew that zero people were listening to this show, mm-hmm. it would still be an awesome time to hang out with y'all here. For but sure. It's, I in the back of my mind, I'd be like, meh, no one really cares about this. Yeah. So that would be hard.
Well, you know who does care? No thanks, Coachella. We're good. We don't want to host any of your stages.
Yeah.
As hot garbage.
We're off the festival scene.
But like, I don't even period. Care if you weren't going to offer. I'm just going to put that out there. Just like we did with the Super Bowl, and just like we'll do with the World Series. No thank you.
Like, for me, the best thing to do with music is, like, take it to places that you'd never fucking think you'd ever go, and, like, hanging out with the locals, hanging out with everyone who lives there year-round. Like, I went up to Alaska this summer and hung out there and played music all over the state. And, you know, met the people, fucking hung out with them all summer and checked it out, see what it was like to fucking live up there. And it was fucking rad. But, like, that's the kind of thing I like doing with music. You know, traveling around this place to that place, kind of getting to know people, you know, having a spot wherever you go. And
yeah. Well, it's like we were saying earlier about it being that ultimate icebreaker, that thing that holds a lot of people together. Right. It's like a great conversation starter.
Right. When we drove up there, when we got up there, the locals were like, you guys drove up here? I'm like, yeah, we did. Like, all right, you guys are in. Like, they knew we were serious about it. Like, you know, they're like, all right, these guys are no joke. Yeah, we had a blast and welcome wherever we went.
Oh, so you had proven yourselves.
Yeah, it was a stamp of approval right there. Yeah. It was like, all right, you made it up here. You didn't fuck around. All right, you guys are good.
Did any of you guys take a shot with that toe in it? Were you near that place?
I've heard about that. Yeah, people put it in their mouth. Yeah.
Do you know about this?
No, what is this?
There's a town in Alaska where this bar.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
You get to take a shot of whiskey and they put a human toe in it, like a real
formaldehyde human toe.
They replace it like every decade or something.
Why do we? Why
and
would
if
I
you
do
like,
this?
If you like kiss the toe, it's like a special thing.
Is
I don't
it like
know.
The Blarney Stone.
Kind of. Yeah. It's a weird good luck thing.
The Blarney toe.
It's not good.
Well, makes your lips numb. Yeah. It numbs the lips.
Yeah. There's not much to do up there, so.
You kiss almost anything up in Alaska.
There's lots of stories about people eating the toes too. It's happened a few times.
Where do they get the toes?
For stealing them.
You need a toe, I can get your toe.
Yeah.
They're a dime a dozen.
A 3 o'clock.
Big toe? Is it always?
Yeah, it's a big toe.
Oh, it's the big one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a nail on it?
Oh, yeah, it's like the whole toe.
I didn't even think about the nail.
It's well manicured and shit.
So is it like sticking out of the shot glass? Like,
it's just like a nub.
It's like giving you the come hither toe.
It's like knuckle and a half toe. It's like not like all the way down to like the foot, but it's like a pretty good chunk of toe.
Yeah.
Does it float?
You get less of a shot of you get less whiskey, but there's the novelty of having a human toe in it.
Yeah, no.
It's not for everybody, but for the people that are into it, it's like a real cool thing.
I think there must be some kind of like a deal, you know, like to attract the wary, you know, like as if it might be worth it. Somehow.
I think it's just the shock value.
They pay you to take a shot.
Bragging rights.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, are you tough enough?
Yeah, they've been Instagramming their toe shots.
Are you tough enough to touch a severed toe
check
to your
off
lips?
The bucket list.
I've got a toe shot for you right here.
Yeah. You get a t-shirt that says, I tongue to toe, and if you do it, then you get to be up on their wall.
Man.
I towed the line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got this shirt. That's for the
t-shirt. Etc. Yeah.
Or total
there, done
package.
That, got the merch to prove it.
Hell no, we won't tow.
Just a second.
Go out and protest.
We're not violators will be towed.
We don't really care, it's just funny.
Tow up.
I think we're doomed.
Well, guys, we could talk toes all night. I could really go deep on this, but we unfortunately only have time for the last track that you guys played tonight.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about round three. It was a beautiful jam.
If I recall correctly, yeah, that wasn't our original. That was a local, Jimmy Boyer from Portland Freak Mountain, passed away a couple years ago. Mm. Yeah, one of Portland's finest songwriters, and part of the Freak Mountains and Holy Mud Rounders and all those guys, and stuff that we really like too, and phenomenal songwriter obviously, and I don't know, we've been playing it for a couple years now. Learned about Jimmy Boyer and Holy Mud Rounders and Michael Hurley from our good friend Mary Mack, was another big influence on some of the songs we do. She's another whole long story. You should get her in here.
Yeah, absolutely. We would love to.
Are you guys ready for Hair and Mary?
I think so.
All right. I think you might be.
All right. You're Hairy Mary material.
Well, awesome. Well, this is a pretty song. So I'm excited to share with everyone right now.
Thank you.
Just played it too. That was just
great. That was great.
Except we're missing our clarinet player.
Is a clarinet in this thing too?
Yep. He's on that CD, but he is definitely like
he's
watching over us right now. Like even though he's alive,
he's mimicking me. He's also haunting.
It's more of an astral projection.
He does have dreams. He doesn't smoke.
Yeah, he's with us.
I don't know. Maybe
even when he's not here. So I felt his clarinet playing, even though we were without him. Just
now. Yeah, I could hear it. A distant, rich woodwind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's fucking killer. He plays with Shravona, Gogo Bodello. He hopped on board with them.
Yeah. Really? That's cool. Uh-huh. I love that.
Yeah, he's from Moscow.
He's legit. He talks the talk.
Andrew Alkanov.
Yeah. I always have a hard time pronouncing the name. I put an extra syllable in it. I think
that was the right one.
Alkanov.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Alkanov.
Maybe you're dropping one. I was thinking of imagining the spelling, but that's our friend and the clarinetist.
Yeah.
Well, Blue Flags and Black Grass, thank you guys so much for hanging out.
Absolutely.
It's been an honor to have
you. Thank you much for having me.
Really
appreciate
it. Thank you for playing some music. You guys just put out a record called Sweet D's Kitchen.
Yep.
Just first week of February. So it's hot off the presses. What's the best way for people who want to check you out to find out what you're up to and keep track of you?
Website, blueflagsandblackgrass.com.
Mm-hmm. Lots of videos up on the website.
An event calendar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're about to get that band camp rolling where we can sell the CD as a hard copy that we put together ourselves.
Yeah.
And it will be for sale on Bandcamp.
Digital, and we'll mail you one if you want.
Well, I'm holding the physical copy right now. It's a good looking CD.
It's sharp.
That sounds like to imagine in this day and age, but it's a good looking CD.
We made that all by hand. Yeah. We hung out Friday. All day Friday. We're hanging out for a good handful of hours, gluing, getting pretty...
All these picking fingers all over this thing.
Yeah, sticky fingers.
Yeah.
Gluing, stamping, and passing, and laughing.
Yeah.
We made it all happen.
Yeah. Some folk CD stuffing.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Homemade.
But it's been great having you guys. Thank you
Absolutely.
So much.
Thank you so much, everyone out there.
Check them out on Bandcamp. Buy the physical thing. Throw some money these guys' way.
Yeah.
I promise it'll be worth it. But
come hang out with us too.
Yeah, come.
Yeah. What's the next time? What's on the horizon here in the Portland area that people can see you live at?
Well, Portland, we're playing Valentine's Day at the Starday Theater on Foster.
Right, close.
Nice. Yeah.
A few blocks away from this spot.
We talked about Baby Gramps. We played with Baby Gramps too. We're going to be playing Baby Gramps up at the Conway Muse up in Conway. That's going to be a pretty awesome show with Gramps. We're going to play and then Gramps play and then we'll play with Gramps.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Where is that place?
That's Conway, Washington. It's north of Seattle, actually.
We got a great big Conway.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, guys. Really appreciate it. And and thank all of you out there for listening to this week's episode. We really appreciate you tuning in. We hope you liked the show. If you did and you want to tell other people about it, it's great if you subscribe, leave us some comments, leave us some stars. People will find the way.
And if you really want something visual to look at while you're listening to the podcast, our Instagram, you can find us at hurtgerbash. Just like it sounds.
Yeah.
And look at all the weird pictures of stuff I found on the internet.
Yeah, it actually is a pretty good collage to go along with this.
Yeah. Really.
It's like synesthesia looking at that Instagram feed.
That's good.
You can also reach out to Nate, Andy, and I directly via email at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's H-A-U-T-E. Garbage Podcast. Andy, it's that time again. What are we going out on tonight?
I got one more tasty slice of music for you, Drew, specifically this week. I just really wanted to give something to Drew.
Thank you.
This week.
Maybe just one more slice.
This is a little Australian psych rock.
Ooh, now we're talking.
And this is, man, I would describe this as
Brisbane psych?
Cosmo sitar, like sitar plinking.
A synthtar?
Drone shoegaze.
Is a synthtar like a part?
No, it's like
synthesizer,
a
synthesizer part horse?
It's just a regular sitar.
Do drones have shoes?
Yeah, with drones.
Okay.
So this is a band. They're called the Black Heart Death Cult from Melbourne.
I love
it. They just came out with a self-titled album, and this is their debut, and it is really good. And it is just like just these waves of like drone-y psych washing over it. It's really good, man. Check these guys out. You can find this album on Bandcamp, and you should. Right away.
Wonderful. Well, for Blue Flags and Black Grass, for Nate, for Andy, this is Drew. We will see you next week on Hot Garbage.